Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I'm going to try to prove to myself that I can wait a little while before talking about LeBron James and where he might wind up, because that's been the sort of underlying story of the summer, especially with the Kawhi Leonard news popping up and the possibility of L.A. really becoming more and more real. And I didn't make it because I just talked about it. I didn't have to say that, right? I didn't have to acknowledge that right off the top. But I want to start quickly with a few things from the NBA draft that are more broad, in the sense of it's not a topic about one individual. It's more patterns and trends. You know, DeAndre Ayton goes number one overall. That's no surprise. I would have been terrified to take Ayton number one. I'm terrified of taking a big man that high in the draft with the way the game is played today. No disrespect to Ayton's skills. He definitely has a lot of measurable skills. Just his frame, he can shoot the rock, and all that. But there's a couple reasons for it. The first being defense. You saw Joel Embiid tweet, "Don't compare me to Ayton either. I play defense." And that's true. Joel Embiid does play defense. However, if we're looking at Joel Embiid kind of as a ceiling, a dude who has a ton of talent, I have concerns about Embiid in the big moments against the best teams. And it's not a mental thing. It's not like he comes up small. It's because the way the game's played with so many interchangeable pieces, it's very difficult for those big guys to stay on the floor defensively. Boston picked on Joel Embiid in the Eastern Conference semis. They went right at him every time. Put him in high screen and roll action, made him guard in space. And that lateral quickness, it's just like, what are you going to do if you're Joel Embiid or a guy that big and you get switched onto the point guard? How do you stay in front? And if you look at the conference finals in the NBA this year, which big men were on the floor at all? Clint Capella played for Houston, but he's a rim diving big man. He's not a "we're dumping the ball down" big man. And he didn't even play down the stretch of games for the Rockets. They went with PJ Tucker in their smaller lineup, so they didn't even close with Clint Capella. JaVale McGee played some minutes for the Warriors in the finals, but obviously not a focal point for what that team does. You know, the Cavs gave Tristan Thompson minutes, of course, but he's under 7 feet tall. And they played a lot of this year with Kevin Love at center. The Celtics, Horford is their big man, and he's much more of a modern-day center. So I would be very afraid to draft a guy like Ayton with the number one pick in the draft, because I don't know if he's going to be able to be on the floor against the elite teams in the biggest moments. You know, he was getting roasted by the University of Buffalo in high screen and rolls defensively. Now, he might tear up the league otherwise, and they might be afraid of passing on someone with that size and that talent. But with the number one overall pick, you know, I'd be more worried about a skill set lacking that's needed to be at the elite level. And then there's the offensive side of things. You know, traditional big men are very much like, and when I say that, it's a little unfair to Ayton because he's not exactly a traditional big man, right? I mean, he can stretch the floor, so maybe he can fit in because of his ability to do that. And I think his jumper should work out to the three-point line as well. But you know what? They're kind of like the workhorse bell cow running back in the NFL who can't catch the ball out of the backfield and all that stuff. The guy who you hand it to and they go straight forward. And you don't see those players play much in the NFL or have as much value in the NFL anymore. They're more specialists for short yardage situations because if that guy's in the game, you know if they're touching the ball, they're running it. They're not a threat out of the backfield. And offensively, with a big, it's similar in basketball because if you're dumping it down to the big man, it makes it so much easier for the defense. Because that's always, like, let's say you're guarding, Golden State's such a bad example, and I really shouldn't use them because they're so deadly. But you're guarding Golden State, and they're bringing the ball down, and Klay Thompson's firing out to one corner, and Kevin Durant is coming off of a curl while Steph Curry has the ball and Draymond Green setting a screen. You don't know what's going to happen there. You don't know what's going to happen there. When you're bringing the ball down the court and you're looking for that one guy, everybody knows what's going to happen there. So that allows the defense to swarm, get in the passing lanes, get steals. So I don't think you can run an offense that way that's successful unless the player you're giving the ball to is just like an extra special passer. And I don't know if we've seen that big man prospect yet. Like, LeBron's basically the only guy I think you could run a post offense through. Which leads to not even Marvin Bagley at second, who I talked to earlier this week, seems like a cool dude. At third is Luka Doncic, who I would have taken number one overall. Look, I don't do this for a living, study these guys, and albeit this is, you know, full disclosure based on mostly glimpses and you know, blink tests. Malcolm Gladwell has a book called Blink where it says your initial judgment on something oftentimes tends to be correct, what you first see. And Luka Doncic, to me, plays more into the style of ball that the NBA has now, where he's big, so he should be able to play multiple positions, 1, 2, 3, maybe even the 4 in extreme small ball lineups, and he can play make. You know, he has an innate sense of the floor. He can see the whole floor. He's kind of like, to be honest, he plays a little bit like James Harden, I think is probably, from my quick glimpse, the most apt comparison. So, and it's not just that. It's he has the receipts. I know there's a little bit of a question of a lack of athleticism, and I don't know how much of that is, you know, some of it's true. He's not blindingly quick or fast, but I don't know how much of that is also being exaggerated because, you know, he's an international player and a white dude in a sense. Which I'm going to get to in a second. I'm sort of building towards some of these stereotypes that we see in sports. But Doncic put up numbers. He was the EuroLeague MVP at 19 years old. 19. And, you know, that league is better than college basketball, right? You're talking about grown men playing in that league. Some of the best players in the world. Some of the best players who didn't make the NBA. So, you know, like the best of the best from other places. The best of everybody who's not in the NBA, essentially, right? And at 19, he didn't just like sort of play. He was the best player. So I think Dallas made the right move there. Dallas, we're used to them winning. They've been a winning franchise for a long time. Maybe that is because of Dirk more than anything else. But the 1 year they legitimately chose to tank, the 1 year they're like, all right, we're going to be bad, they went for it. So I appreciate that. I mean, Doncic, theoretically, like, those numbers should translate. You've had other guys put up, you know, or play professionally when they're younger, but they didn't do what he did. You know, and I go back to Kristaps Porzingis when he was booed when the Knicks drafted him, and all the analysts, I would hear them say, well, he's such a project. And I would think to myself, why is he a project more than these other kids? These other kids are playing 1 year at school at a lower level. He was playing professionally since he was 15 years old. And he didn't do what Doncic did at that level. And I just don't understand, I guess at this point, the stigma about international players. They're all over the NBA. And yeah, sure, some of them have busted. And maybe it's because their names, like, sound unique. So when you're making fun of the international player that busts, you like say their name and it sticks out to people or something like that. I don't know. But college players bust all the time too. I mean, was Kwame Brown an international player? Was Michael Olowokandi an international player? Was Anthony Bennett was from Canada, but was he an international player in the sense that people are thinking about? I mean, they're busts all over the place. And the league's full of guys who played overseas. Full of it. And then you're talking about the best prospect ever from overseas. So I just don't understand why that stigma sticks. And I know, and I'm betting, some of those GMs at the top of the draft were afraid to bust on an international player. But I'd be much more afraid to bust on a big man than I would be an international player.
How about Doncic? Back in May, I believe it was, he recorded a triple-double in 22 minutes. He did it. 22 minutes. And in this particular league, this was only the seventh triple-double ever. Like, it's such a rarity. It was the first time in 11 years someone had recorded a triple-double. The guy did it in 22 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, the receipts are there, right? He's got the it's twofold. The reason I'm bigging him up is because he's got clearly an innate sense of the game, right? That playmaking ability, you could just see it when you watch him for a second. And then he's got the production. So it's not just like, oh man, maybe there's that potential. He's actually putting in that work at the level that, again, is higher than college basketball. Just because there's not the interest that there is in the NCAA tournament doesn't mean it's an inferior product. It's a superior product talent-wise. So I just don't understand. Because, like, basketball is a great equalizer. We talk about sports being meritocracies. But growing up, you know, I played basketball my whole life, and I'm not saying in any way that I'm some sort of elite hooper, right? You know, but I've played a lot of places, and you see it, right? When people get identified when they walk on the court, and people go, all right, well, I'm not picking this guy. But then when that person gets on the court and they hoop out, they're getting picked the next time. You know, you prove yourself on the court, and there's all sorts of mix of different people that are there. And what's the phrase? Game recognized game, right? Game recognized game. And it seems to me Luka Doncic has game. And I don't understand why he would fall, even if he didn't fall that far, why he would fall behind guys that, to me, have bigger concerns about their ability to play at the very highest level. I mean, is there still that stigma around international players? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. And in honor of that, what is your favorite or least favorite athlete stereotype, right? It's like international guys are soft. Isn't that the stereotype? Even though the entire NBA has been influenced by the international game, and we've seen guys come over and have legendary careers, whether it's Dirk Nowitzki or Pau Gasol or Manu Ginobili and so on and so forth. We've got, like, now a group of legendary NBA players from overseas, but they're still, all of them are soft, no matter what. What's your favorite sports or athlete stereotype or least favorite the other way? I mean, when I say favorite, I don't mean necessarily you have to like it. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio, talking athlete stereotypes in honor of Luka Doncic. European players are soft. I think my favorite might be like the player, usually it's a white player. Sometimes it's, you know, an Asian player like Jeremy Lin, where they're deceptively fast. No, you know, like Jordy Nelson in his prime was not deceptively fast. He was fast. He was just plain old fast. He played in the NFL, and he was getting open past the secondary. He was fast. Jeremy Lin, fast, you know, driving into the lane in the NBA. My least favorite, I think, is for the actually, like, really athletic guys when their brains are questioned. And a lot of times that happens to be black players, so it's a little concerning when, you know, it feels like the mobile quarterbacks are always the ones who are tagged for not being able to read defenses or just praised for their athleticism and nothing else, while the scrappy player is always praised for the heady play the other way around. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Ben in Clemson, South Carolina. Ben, you're up first. What's going on?
Hey, I think I have a couple of good stigmas.
Okay.
I think the SEC defense dominance a little overblown. I'm in Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And I think Clemson's defensive line is certainly as good as any SEC line. Another one would be, you know, Duke basketball is Coach K's brilliance and just pure fundamentals is what wins them games.
Even though they're getting a bunch of talent in there?
Like when they beat UNLV in the national championship, Larry Johnson's UNLV team, it was the fundamentals that beat them. Stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Duke's case, they are praised as this like program that now at this point, I mean, look at the draft. Look at the players that are coming from Duke. They're getting the top-end high school talent. And SEC, I think there's just a lot of people don't like across the country, college football fans, the fact that the SEC is just praised constantly for its overall talent. Now, some of that is true, but obviously there are other good conferences and other good schools that have performed at a high level. Your favorite or least favorite athlete stereotypes in honor of, again, Luka Doncic falling in the draft, and I think it being because he played internationally and for some reason Euros are still soft. 855-212-4227. How about Ben in Hoboken? Ben, you're up next. What's going on, Ben, on CBS Sports Radio?
Hey, what's up, Lundberg?
What's up, dude?
I wanted to say my favorite stereotype is he's typically about white guys. They say he's a coach's son, or he plays scrappy.
Well, yeah, he plays scrappy. I mean, he would have to be a coach's son for the right. First one to be accurate. I don't know if that's a stereotype everybody gets. That would be hilarious, though, if it was, right? No matter what, whether they were the coach's son or not. You know, that guy's a coach's son. You could tell, by the way, he goes about his business. Go ahead.
Yeah, like a Grayson Allen type.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
typically stay there. But talking about the draft, I think Doncic is going to be a player, especially with Dennis Smith, with Dirk in his last year. You pair these two guys up, I think they're going to be electric, those two guys. And to me, the steal of the draft is going to be Porter dropping down to the 14th slot. I mean, I know he dropped because of the back injury, but if that doesn't hold up, I think this dude is going to be lights out, man. That dude, he just flies up and down the court. He's everything you want in terms of athleticism, ability to get to the hole and shoot. What do you think about that? And who do you think besides him was a perfect fit?
Well,
in terms of other teams,
you know, Porter Jr., I kind of think the Knicks maybe should have taken him. I'm not going to crush the Knicks for their pick or anything like that. They've actually done a decent job identifying talent. The problem has been when the talent's gotten to the Knicks and spent some time around the Knicks organization. But considering their position, you know, the Knicks are best off just tanking outright this coming year. Tank, tank, tank. They haven't done that. They've tried these get good quick schemes and bringing in these big names past their prime, and they've been bad without trying to be bad. And when you get to mediocre is the worst place you can be, right? Like the Charlotte Hornets might be the worst place you can be in the entire NBA. They have no player on their roster that you think, all right, this guy might be a star, and they have too many mediocre players to get really bad. So that's the spot you don't want to be in. And the Knicks have been floating in that spot or worse for a long time. So I think between Kristaps Porzingis' injury and the fact that he might not even start next season and that the Knicks roster is horrible, they should tank totally next year. They have their draft pick. Go one more year in the tubes on purpose. And because of that, I could definitely see the logic behind taking Michael Porter Jr. and just letting him get healthy. Don't even worry about him playing a second this season. He could take the whole year off. You can, you know, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons kind of deal with him until he gets fully healthy. So if I were the Knicks, I might have taken that home run swing with the ninth pick this year and then tanked this year simply because of where their position was in the draft. Meanwhile, another story from the draft is Kawhi Leonard. And now the Spurs, you know, you've got Bruce Bowen, a former Spur, ripping Kawhi Leonard for not saying anything. And, you know, I'll talk about Kawhi Leonard's situation overall. The Spurs are saying that they want to keep him and all that. Kawhi's going to wind up in L.A. He's going to be a Laker. I would put money on him being a Laker by opening night, and I'll tell you why coming up next.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. Tweet comes in from History's Ego. Favorite stigma, this team could not play in the old NBA. They couldn't even take a hand check. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. The almighty hand check. Because what would LeBron James or Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook or any of those guys be able to do if someone could place a hand on their back? They would be totally, totally destroyed. Their egos would be crushed and they'd crawl into the fetal position. You know, it's a stupid thing people bring up because on the flip side of that is the defensive rules are different now. You, in that era, couldn't play quasi-zone defenses. So you had to play man-to-man or send hard doubles. And that the idea, like, people couldn't make it back in those days. So sometimes you watch old clips and the driving lanes are just so wide open. Yeah, guys would get knocked on their butt, which isn't basketball, by the way, to forearm somebody out of the air. But I'm sure these guys who are bigger, stronger, and all that would adapt to that era. So that's one of my favorite ones to chuckle at as well. Kawhi Leonard. What a weird story all around. And from the San Antonio aspect of it, it's weird because we really don't see anything like this with the Spurs. The drama and the Spurs, they don't go together. Now, you have to add in that apparently LaMarcus Aldridge asked for a trade last year as well. So that's back-to-back players. I don't know exactly what's going on, but aside from that, and they appeased Aldridge, the Spurs have been pristine in the way they've been run. We're talking 2 decades now, right? I mean, I remember the David Robinson Spurs, and then Tim Duncan gets there. They win the title in 99. That incarnation won a couple titles, playing a little bit more old school. Then they changed the way they played and brought in Ginobili and Parker and kept winning and winning and winning and winning and winning, and they're still winning. So they've been the model franchise in the NBA, both for their results and for the lack of any sort of drama around them. I mean, if anything, they were called boring. So it's very odd to have this sort of story come out of San Antonio, regardless of where Kawhi Leonard ends up. And I don't know exactly what to say about it, because I don't want to accuse Kawhi of faking an injury, right? That's a huge accusation. He was hurt. Now, from what we know, the San Antonio medical staff had cleared him, but he didn't feel like he was ready to return and was looking for second opinions and all that. I don't know what happened there. And we also have to remember Kawhi did come back. He came back in the middle of the season, played a little bit, and then left again because he was re-injured. So I don't know if the behind-the-scenes stuff added to the turmoil and that just entrenched him in his position. I'd hope not. Like, I'd hope he didn't use his playing status as a leverage play. I don't mind him wanting to go somewhere else. I don't mind him using any leverage he has for that. I do mind if he just said, I'm not playing. You know, that's I'm never the guy who says, hey, you make $20 million. I'm never that guy. Because I know they're making what the market is paying them. Right? And they're not in control of where the salaries are. If we have a, you know, if you want to overhaul what all sports make, we could have that discussion or something, but it is what it is. So I'm never going to crush a guy for that. They just happen to have high-paying jobs. And by the way, they have a skill set that is unique. You know, people play basketball everywhere. Everywhere. All ages, sizes, races, backgrounds, all that play basketball. And like 450 players in the NBA. You got to be real good to be in the NBA. You got to be unbelievably good to be first-team All-NBA. Like Kawhi Leonard was. So I don't begrudge him getting paid, but as someone who never brings that up, I certainly would bring it up if he just decided he didn't want to play because he was mad. That's a character thing, to be honest. At a certain point, that's a character thing. Now, I don't know that's the case, by the way. I'm saying if that were the case. Because there's also been situations where you know how your body just doesn't feel right, and somebody could tell you you're fine. You know, plenty of people have gone to the doctor a bunch, and the doctor says, hey, I don't see anything wrong with you. I don't see anything wrong with you. Well, something feels wrong with me. I don't see anything wrong with you. Well, something feels wrong with me. And they keep going to the doctor. Nobody can help them. And all of a sudden, you know, a month later, they find out they had Lyme disease or something. So I could see that being the case, too, where the doctors felt that he was medically okay to return, but he just didn't feel 100% right to return. And then you throw in all this drama, and now you have what you have. But the San Antonio thing, I think, is now in the past, regardless. I know R.C. Buford, their general manager, says their desire is to keep him, but they'll explore all their options. And here's where Kawhi Leonard has leverage. He does have leverage. He's a free agent in just a year. 1 year from now, he can hit free agency. So that's why I believe if he wants to go to L.A., he'll be in L.A. Because he, or more likely, I don't know if I've ever heard Kawhi Leonard talk, so more likely the people representing Kawhi Leonard can say, he's only signing with the Lakers. That's it. You know, whether you trade for him or not, after this season, he will be signing a contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. They can say that. So that means if you're some other team and you're thinking about trading for Kawhi Leonard, are you going to be including as much as you would otherwise? I mean, maybe you still take the risk, or you'd be willing to take the risk, but you wouldn't be willing to include the same sort of trade package you would if you thought he'd be re-signing with you when his people say, nope, he's not re-signing.
I also feel like if you're San Antonio, you shouldn't also be just like dismissing all these Western Conference teams. I mean, I know the report came out because like you said, I mean, he wants to go to L.A. So if it's not this year, it'll be next year when he hits the free agent market. So if you get a great package from a Western Conference team, shouldn't you take it then if you're San Antonio? Would you take it then?
Of course. I think San Antonio is posturing. I mean, I think that's just negotiating tactics, right, to get the best possible deal they can. Because here's why it's going to be the Lakers. It's going to be the Lakers because, one, Kawhi wants it to be the Lakers, and he has leverage to say, I'm going to only sign with the Lakers, which means that other teams aren't going to offer their best packages. and two, because the Lakers have a pretty good trade package to offer, right? Like, it'd be one thing if the Lakers had nothing. But the combination of those factors, I think, makes it L.A. Maybe there's another team, like, maybe Boston could put together the best possible trade package, but if he doesn't want to go there, why would they do it? The Lakers are on the list of teams, you know, very high on the list of teams that could put together the best trade package. Because if you're the Lakers and you say, pick two of three between Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Kyle Kuzma, that's pretty, you know, good young players. So San Antonio can start by identifying which player on the Lakers roster they want the most. And they should be able to have them in a Kawhi trade. If I'm LA, there's not a player on the Lakers roster I don't trade for Kawhi Leonard. So I would give them two of the three. And whatever, if we want to facilitate with a third team because, you know, the third team likes Ball or Kuzma better or what have you, okay, fine. But ultimately, I think that's going to be the case. And if you're LA, I think it's a win if you keep one of those guys and you add Kawhi Leonard. Now, this is all assuming he's going to be healthy going. Of course, you know, I don't know, and I'd be a little wary, but I would hope after essentially a full year off, he would be healthy by next year. But ultimately, I think Kawhi Leonard winds up in LA because, one, Kawhi Leonard can use his leverage of being a free agent next year and say, hey, I'm only going to re-sign with the Lakers. And two, because the Lakers have a good trade package to offer. So those two things are going to intersect at some point. And in the meantime, I mean, it makes no sense for San Antonio to just rush out there and trade him at the first possible instant. I think they'll wind up trading him this summer. But why do they have to trade him at the first possible instant? That makes no sense. They don't have to do that. They got time. Kawhi Leonard, Laker, definitively, 855-212-4227. What do you make of the whole Kawhi Leonard situation in general? 855-212-4227. And that, of course, lends itself to talking a little bit further down the line about what the Lakers do. And to be honest, I've kind of treated the Lakers like a joke the last however many years. They had infighting with their ownership. The Buss family was fighting until now Jeannie Buss has taken full control. Magic Johnson, when he was hired, I know this isn't really fair, but some of his tweets, it did make you question his acumen as a talent evaluator. Clearly a great businessman, clearly an affable dude, clearly a legendary player. And you know, because he has such a harmless brand, in a sense, maybe he was as generic as possible when he was a analyst on purpose because he didn't want to ruffle any feathers. But boy, was he as generic as possible as an analyst, like where you got nothing, where you would watch Magic Johnson talk about basketball and think you knew basketball better than Magic Johnson, who's one of the greatest players who ever played. Like that was a fair thought you would have, right? Because of what he said. He'd just be like, yeah, well, Kevin Durant is good. He's a good player. The Thunder or the Warriors would be lucky to have him. You know, that was the stuff he would say. But, and you know, like on top of that, by the way, before I get to the but, on top of that, the Lakers, you know, it felt like kept thinking they could just sell any player on it being the Lakers. Hey, it's the Lakers. Hey, Jack Nicholson's there. Hey, you know, and to me, that doesn't work anymore. It was always the Knicks and the Lakers who were putting together these like movies about how awesome it was to be in the town without any focus on the basketball team. But now the Lakers, it feels like, are starting to turn that page a little bit, where some of that planning has become reality, where they have a roster that you can say, okay, something can happen here. Luke Walton, you know, he was the coach of the Warriors team for a big chunk of that 73-win season. They got some young talent. They got this cap space. Maybe they're in business. And if they trade for Kawhi Leonard, obviously they're in business. Mike in Boston. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on, boys? Love the show.
Thanks, man. What's up?
Hey, man, I have a question. Why would the Lakers trade for him if he's going to go there after next year? Why give up a piece? The Lakers aren't going to win anything next year.
Well,
so why not just hold tight, get back in the lottery again, and then rebuild for the following year. Why would you give something up this year? Unless you get
LeBron James.
Goes, but
LeBron James. That's why.
Okay, that's the only thing you're saying then.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, I think one, because you never know what can happen, right? In over the course of a year, and you get a chance to add Kawhi Leonard. I guess you do it. It'd be different if it was the All-Star break. You know, like the Carmelo Anthony situation with the Knicks way back when, where they maybe could have waited to sign him instead of trading away their whole team. But the bigger reason, Mike, is LeBron James.
So how about San Antonio? I mean, they're kind of handcuffed right now because by him saying that. So I'm thinking, you know, my Celtics might have the best chance at this here. Give him kind of the best deal they can get for a one year rental, and put him in the starting lineup. I mean, would be solid with Kawhi.
All right, the Celtics are going to be solid regardless. They'd be awesome with Kawhi. I mean, maybe, I guess that's a possibility that they, you know, offer a lesser package for a rental to try and convince Kawhi to stay. But does that lesser package then beat the package the Lakers offer? Right? Again, because it's not like the Lakers are offering scraps. The Lakers have a real offer. I wouldn't be saying this if the Lakers only had scraps. Because then you're just like, all right, I'll make him play the whole year in San Antonio. He can be upset about it. I don't care. And then go sign for nothing. I'd rather, you know, spite him than have him go for scraps. But you have to swallow your pride in the sense that the Spurs could actually get something in return, some good young players from the Lakers in return, and everybody could be as happy as possible from this situation. But, yeah, the reason to trade for Kawhi Leonard now is obvious. And I don't think it's coincidental, man. I mean, I don't think it's that coincidental that all of a sudden this is going down with Kawhi Leonard as LeBron's about to hit free agency. And the Lakers have the assets and the ability to put together a real, real squad for next year. And it's feeling like it was so mysterious before. It's starting to feel like, man, is it the Lakers? Is that it for LeBron? I mean, look at the odds. I guess he could stay in Cleveland. You know, that sort of emerged as a possibility. But if you look at the latest odds, the Lakers are minus 150 now. Let me make sure I'm... Cavs have made a major move up. So, current odds, Lakers 4-13, Cavs 13-4, Rockets 15-2. Sixers 10-1, Celtics 18-1. I mean, is that it? Is LeBron James to the Lakers a foregone conclusion? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.